The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
And welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. It is the Timeless Edition. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay. We're back with episode 6. Oh my god, my ship. My ship is happening, guys. See, you gave me crap at the end of the last episode where you're like, no, that didn't happen. That totally didn't happen. He never said that. He didn't say it on camera, but he, by god, he said it off. Just saying. That conversation happened. There was cuddling and a few other things, I'm sure, but there was...
You are assuming so much. Did you see any cuddling?
I saw her show up with a bottle of vodka.
Did you see cuddling?
It's implied!
So there's just implied cuddling now?
Yes. There can be implied cuddling.
There's implied cuddling. There's implied whoopee now, too.
What else happens when you show up drunk outside...
Valid points.
Someone's door who says they want to get to know you with a pretty much full bottle of vodka. I mean, you know, what else is supposed to happen? You're going to have a long, drawn-out conversation?
You never know.
She was needing some love, damn it. She needed some Garcia love, and by God, she went and got her some. Cannot argue with that.
I mean... it's not wrong. I just have to play this, and then we can continue on. Hopefully this plays correctly.
Bang, bang, bangity bang.
I said a bang, bang, bangity bang.
A bang, bang, bangity bang.
I said a bang, bang, bangity bang.
Bang, bang, bangity bang.
I said a bang, bang, bangity bang.
Bang, 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 bang.
Bang, bang, bangity bang.
I said a bang, bang, bangity bang.
We're adults. We're so adults. Anyway, we should probably talk about the episode, which is episode 6, The King of the Delta Blues. I liked it just from purely a ship standpoint, but there was a lot that went on in this episode.
There was.
So we open in San Antonio, Texas, 1936 at the Gunter Hotel, where we see Don Law and Robert Johnson, who is, I have to read his full title.
It's lengthy.
It's a lengthy title. It's like a Daenerys Targaryen level title here, where he is King of the Delta Blues, Godfather of Rock and Roll, and the man who, legend has it, bought his musical genius from the devil for the price of his soul. These two have come together at this hotel in 1936 to record records over a 3-day period, which is credited as being the birth of modern day rock and roll. Essentially, this is what leads to rock and roll, all the music in the 60s, the counterculture, everything like that. Keep that in mind. That's going to come up a little bit later. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, yeah.
Nudge, nudge. So anyway, so these two have come together to do this record. And as they're getting ready to start recording, before I go there, we should also note that Don Law has his girlfriend Betty there as well. Keep her in mind, she's going to come up later too. So these two are getting ready to record this record, and in burst a Rittenhouse agent. He tries to take both of them out, and he is killed by Garcia Flynn.
Because, you know, that's what he does.
That's what he does. It's Garcia Flynn. So yeah, so, and then Johnson kind of runs, and Law is sort of left, and the team has to sort of make excuses, but we're going to backtrack a little bit. So that's kind of the setup to the episode, is these two are going to try to record this record, and Rittenhouse completely, utterly kiboshes it because they're jerks like that. So backtrack to the present, where we have Connor Mason getting drunk in the bunker. Basically, he loses control of his company. He loses control of his fortune. He officially becomes a nobody. So he gets absolutely plastered, wasted in front of G.N. Rufus. So the fallout with Agent Christopher after last week's episode is this. As she comes into the bunker, she's still very much frazzled and upset from what has happened. She tries to talk to Wyatt, and the mothership jumps, and they're like, crap. And she's like, well, I have to deal with that first. And Wyatt's like, well, what the hell do you have to deal with me? What did I do? So they go running into basically the command center to find out what's going on, and they're like, it's 1930 San Antonio. What happened in 1930 San Antonio? And Lucy's like, I don't know. Garcia's like, I don't know. And Connor Mason, who's still drunk as hell, is like, are you kidding me? The Gunter Hotel? San Antonio? Don Law and Robert Johnson? Do you people not know this? And he proceeds to fanboy out over these two and basically tells them that Robert Johnson is the godfather of rock and roll and the king of the Delta Blues, which then Lucy connects to the fact that if Don Law and Robert Johnson, let's get the names right because I've been wanting to call him Don Johnson the entire time we've been doing this, if Don Law and Robert Johnson do not record this record, then rock and roll does not happen. No Beatles, no Rolling Stones, no Led Zeppelin, no 1960s, no counterculture, no civil rights, no everything else that happened. None of that happens if this record does not get made.
Because of one solid record. That's it.
That's it. So if Rittenhouse stops this from happening, they stop the 60s essentially from happening the way that it happened. And that's a huge deal.
Very huge.
So they all agree, okay, well, we all have to go back. And in the process of this, they have figured out how to fit four people on the mothership. So a fourth person can go.
They made the calculations and they got it to where they need.
And this is what Gia and Rufus were doing while Connor was getting drunk.
Yep.
So basically everybody's trying to figure out who's going to go, Wyatt's all gung-ho, Garcia's all gung-ho, Rufus doesn't want Garcia there, neither does Wyatt. Lucy's just kind of like, eh, eh. And, well, Christopher's like, nope, I need Wyatt here. And they proceed to talk Connor Mason into going into his own time machine. Because he's like, well, you know, I've never been because it's totally not safe. And they all just kind of stand there and look at him like,
you mean you put us on this ship and you have never been on it?
Yeah, you've never been on it. You've never traveled in your own invention. And the excuse was, it's not safe. And they all just kind of looked at him like, we're so done with you. Get on the goddamn ship. So they sober Connor up. They all climb in the time machine. So, on this trip is Rufus, Connor, Lucy, and Garcia. Wyatt stays back. So our foursome travel to 1930s Texas.
Hold on. Before we get to Texas, we need to mention one thing.
Hmm. Oh, yes. Garcia got a gun.
He got a gun. The joy in his eyes when they open up a box and hand him a gun was tremendous.
Forgot about that. Yeah, Agent Christopher shows up with the gun, and she's like, before you go, and here. She opens this briefcase, and he's like, nice! It was like Christmas for him.
It really was. It was like the best part of the show is like, he's so excited that he has a gun now. He has to go search for a gun. He has a gun. I love the story continuity of it for episode to episode. It's like, alright, gotta find the gun. Alright, I have a gun now. Ooh, they're giving me a gun. Ooh.
He's been on two missions, you know, he's proven himself. And if Wyatt can't go, somebody's got to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, we land in 1930s San Antonio, or outside of San Antonio, Texas, in the basically essentially the oil fields. And Connor gets out and he's describing the past so lyrically and the experience. And they're all just standing there watching him and he's almost done. And then he just heaves his guts right there. And they're like, there it is!
He broke his time travel cherry. He puked his guts.
Yep, he's broken in now. So he's like, okay, great, what do we do first? And they all go, find some clothes, steal a car, let's do this. Because, you know, they've been on a mission or 20,000.
Yeah, anyway.
So they find the clothes, they steal the car, they arrive at the hotel in time to stop the Rittenhouse agent from killing Don Law and Robert Johnson, which is very important. So like I said, Robert Johnson gets the hell out of there. He runs. Meanwhile, the foursome are trying to explain to Don Law who they are. So they say that they're at the FBI, which he's like, they're hiring women now. And Lucy's like, yeah, go F yourself. And then Connor poses as the precursor to MI6 because Don Law is British. And Don Law's like, really? Seriously? What does Britain want with me? What do they care? And they're just like, yeah, can we just like not have to like explain this too much?
Right.
Because they're trying to explain the Rittenhouse agent and that he was a ne'er-do-well, because basically Law wants to call the police.
Right.
And they're like, please don't call the police. Please don't do that. We don't want to have to kill anybody. So they eventually calm Law down enough to where he's like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. But he doesn't want to make the record with Johnson because it's believed that Johnson is cursed because, again, he sold his soul to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to calm Law down. They're trying to find Johnson, and they have a body to deal with. So Garcia deals with the body. Rufus and Connor go in pursuit of Johnson, and Lucy stays with Law. So Lucy convinces Law, you need to make this record. You need to do this. This is important. You know, what if we go to wherever Johnson is?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, okay, fine, cool, whatever. And what happens in the fight, essentially, is that his equipment gets busted. But he's got extra stuff in his car, so he goes to get the extra equipment. Meanwhile, Rufus and Connor chase after Johnson, and they catch up to him because they realize he's probably going to his sister Carrie's. Excuse me. He's going to his sister Carrie's place. She has a little juke joint. And they figure out that's where he's going. So they find him on the road. They pick him up. And they offer to drive him to this bar where essentially he's like, I'm done. I'm out. This is too much. I'm cursed. And everybody I love is getting hurt or dying. He's like, I've been a widower twice. You know, I'm hurting everybody I love. So I'm just going to get out and disappear. And they're like, no, you don't understand. You really have to make this record. Like, you really, really do have to make this record. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do it.
He doesn't care about making history. The devil. All about the devil.
He's cursed, man.
I know.
Don't blame him. You know, he's like, I'm not doing this.
Let's get away from that devil.
So they proceed to then drive him to Carrie's place, or go on the way to drive him to Carrie's place. We stop along the way to send a message to Garcia and Lucy, basically saying, hey, bring Law and the stuff to the bar because he's not going to go back to the hotel. So now we're going to fast forward to the present because that's a nice little breaking point before I full on go into my ship because things.
Her ship.
So Agent Christopher holds Wyatt back, and Wyatt's like, what the hell? Why are you doing this? And she's like, so you want to take out Rittenhouse? And he goes the entire thing. And she's like, yeah, you want to do it on your own by yourself? And of course, Wyatt being Wyatt, he's like, yeah, let's do this.
I got this.
He's like, I'll tell Jessica not to expect me for dinner. Meanwhile, Gia's standing there like, guys, he's one person. Can we not? Okay, we're going to do it. Fine. So they suit Wyatt up and they essentially send him to the warehouse where Agent Christopher was held. He breaks into it. He runs into a security guard, and the security guard has a key fob, which he is able to recover after he fights and kills the security guard. So Gia hacks it. And through that, they are able to discover Rittenhouse's secret headquarters, basically where it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're at in the present, going back to the past, because Wyatt's currently risking life and limb to take out Rittenhouse. Garcia turns back up at the hotel, and they're alone. I shouldn't say they. Lucy and Garcia are alone in the hotel, and he's giving her those puppy dog eyes. And this is where he basically admits to her he is in love with her, more or less. But he's not in love with this version of Lucy. He's in love with the Lucy from the journal.
Oh, the journal.
It's back. They never said what happened to that journal, did they?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
I don't remember her destroying it. But yeah, so in case you're not aware, if you didn't watch last season, at the very, very end of last season, Garcia gave Lucy the journal back. So she had it up until she got kidnapped by Rittenhouse, and then I don't know what happened after that. They've never said. But Garcia basically admits he wants to spend more time with Lucy. He's in love with that Lucy, and he basically tells her, you need to spend more time with her. You need to read the journal. She's pretty amazing. And Lucy's like, yeah, okay, whatever. So
basically, he's putting the moves on.
He's putting the moves on her. And she's kind of half buying it, half not buying it, because he also kind of talks to her, I think a little bit later, about Rufus and Wyatt and that whole situation and the awkwardness that's bringing, but we'll get to that. So anyway, so they're like, okay, you know, a bellhop comes in and he gives them the message from Rufus that, hey, look, you need to go to Carrie's place and meet them there and that kind of thing. So they're like, yeah, okay, great. So they go to leave and Dawn is coming back in with the equipment. And they're like, hey, you know, don't worry about it. We're going to go to this place to record the music so you can just keep it down there. And he's like, yeah, okay, cool. And then bang, in walks Betty, Dawn's beautiful girlfriend, lovely girl, except, oh wait, she's the Rittenhouse sleeper agent.
The key to all that was, he said, we were there the other day, and it was like, they were like, we? And then she walked in.
And there's a shootout between Garcia and Betty, and what ends up happening is Dawn Law is killed. And it's, oh crap, now what do we do? Because the guy that made the record is dead.
They just inadvertently changed history.
So Rittenhouse almost got their way.
Or did they?
So anyway, Garcia and Lucy find a truck, load it up with Dawn's stuff, and take off after Betty because they're like, oh crap, we just gave away their position. She's going to be able to find them. She's ahead of us. We have to catch her. So they're in the truck and they're driving and they're listening to a song on the radio as they're driving. And I forget what the exact song was, but he's like, you know, he goes, my wife used to sing this. She used to lay on the couch and sing this. And Lucy's like, yeah, my mom used to sing this too. And they kind of have a bonding moment over the song. And She's like, you knew my mom used to sing that to me based on the journal. He's like, yeah? I know all kinds of things about you. I know you better than you know yourself.
I know everything.
I know everything, which is minorly creepy. Which, again, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Which raises so many questions about Garcia Flynn.
Yeah, it really does.
Which I'll get to at the end of this, because I have a theory, but we're not going to go into it right now.
Stay tuned for more of The Ship, The Ship, The Ship.
So, fast forwarding back to present day, Wyatt has gone to Rittenhouse headquarters. He breaks into it with the fob, and he starts taking people out left, right, and center as more and more security guards are there. And he breaks in, and head Rittenhouse dude hears Wyatt, gunshots start going off, and so he starts setting off bombs to destroy the evidence, essentially to destroy the facility. And well, as Wyatt is basically making his way through security, who runs out but Lucy's mom? And Wyatt comes face to face with her. He's got a semi-automatic, basically machine gun pointed at her, and Agent Christopher is yelling in his ear, take the shot. Take the shot. Kill her.
Kill her. Shoot. Shoot her. Shoot her. Take it now. Go.
And Wyatt hesitates. And because Wyatt hesitates, Carol Preston and Rittenhouse do get away.
Oh no.
In the mothership.
Oh no.
So the baddies get away, but on the upside, they have the Rittenhouse headquarters with all the Rittenhouse data. That they tried to burn down. Agent Christopher shows up a little bit later, and she's like, you had them. You had Carol Preston. You could have taken her out. You hesitated because she was Lucy's mother. I don't know what's going on there, but y'all need to straighten this crap out. And Wyatt's like, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
And he kind of walks off and sulks.
I can't tell her about my relationship, but that we bang, bang, bangity bang.
I think she knows they bang, bang, bangity banged, and that's part of the problem.
Does she, though?
Everybody knows! It's a small bunker.
I don't think... Well, they didn't bang, bang, bangity bang in the bunker.
Trust me, everybody knows by now.
I don't think she knows about the bang, bang, bangity bang.
She knows.
I don't...
She so knows. No, she knows.
Maybe...
It's a small bunker. Wyatt's wife knows. Wyatt's wife knows, then by God, Agent Christopher knows.
You never know about the bang, bang, bangity bang.
So anyway, going back to the past, we see Connor and Rufus arrive with Robert, and he walks in, and they're confronted by this awesome scene of a 1930s juke joint. People are laughing, they're dancing, they're listening to live music, they're having a really good time. Connor is in heaven because he's like, I've studied all this at length. He's, you know, it's fanboy heaven, essentially, for him. And they come across a rather awesome trio of Muddy Waters, Sunhouse, and Bessie Smith, all at a table talking, and Connor geeks out, and Bessie gets up and he calls her something. I forget exactly what he called her, but she gets up and she's like, what'd you just call me? And he's like,
And
then this?
And then he repeats it.
And she's like, you damn right! She's like, I like your accent! He's like, okay. And he buys drinks for everybody. So they're having a good time. Connor's having, you know, a great time. And he tells Rufus, when we get back, I'm going to disappear. I'm going to do what Robert Johnson did, and I'm just going to disappear. And Rufus is like, you kind of can't do that. We don't have time for your midlife crisis. We need you to sort of, like, get it together, because you have to fix this, or you have to help fix this. So Carrie arrives, and Johnson and Carrie go have their heart-to-heart, where Johnson's basically like, I'm going to quit music. I'm going to run away. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. So that happens off-screen in private. Meanwhile, everybody's partying, they're having a good time. Johnson and Carrie come back out, and that's when Betty shows up. Guns blazing, she starts shooting people, and Garcia and Lucy basically burst in right as she starts shooting people, and she gets hit, and she gets shot and killed, and they all think it's Garcia, and Garcia's like, I didn't do it. And he kind of points across the room, and it's Connor, who had gotten hold of a gun and killed her, and saved Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And Connor's in shock, obviously, because he's killed someone. You know, like, basically what they all did when they first had that first kill, except for Wyatt, who'd already done it, but, you know, when Lucy had to do it, and when Rufus did it, he went through that shock, and they're basically telling Connor, okay, you need to come out of it, you need to do it, because this is where they find out, oh, hey, Law's dead, and there's nobody that can produce this record. Nobody. And by this point, they've convinced Johnson, hey, you need to record the record, you need to do the thing, but here's the catch, there's nobody here that can record it except for Connor. He's the only one that knows how to operate the equipment, he's in shock, and Rufus gives him a little pep talk and convinces him, you have to do this. And Connor had a great line of, fanboys don't save the world.
Or do they?
Or do they? Because Rufus then is like, I was your fanboy, you flew overnight from Seoul to give me a pep talk when I shut down and had a nervous breakdown at MIT. You brought me back. You helped me get through everything. And I was your fanboy. Now you can return that favor to Robert Johnson and record this and save the world, essentially. So that bucks Connor up. He records the equipment, or he sets it all up. He gets it good to go. They get Johnson set up, and Johnson starts to record. And it sounds like it's supposed to sound. It's perfect, because, you know, Connor's whole big thing is it's not going to sound right. The acoustics aren't right. It's not going to have the same impact because it's not the same environment. And they're like, doesn't matter. It just has to happen.
Right.
Like, location is not as important as the actual event occurring. So as they're recording it, it's really kind of funny because Connor is like, has this outburst at one point where he's like, yeah, in the background as Johnson's playing. And then he's like, oh, crap.
That fanboy came out. That fanboy moment came right out in the track.
So it's like, it's really kind of funny. So anyway, the world is saved. Job well done. They all hop on the lifeboat. They go back and everything's like it should be. The 60s happened. It's all good. Rittenhouse was stopped. Basically, they tell them what happened, where Wyatt went in and they were able to capture Rittenhouse data. And they're like, oh, that's great. That's awesome. And there's this really awkward moment where Lucy and Flynn are walking basically to the showers to get cleaned up from the mission. And Wyatt walks in gun in hand and she's like,
what'd you do? What happened?
What did you do? Where have you been? And they have this really kind of sort of guarded, terse exchange between the two where Lucy's like, yeah, yeah, okay, great. You know, yeah. Because he wants to talk to her.
And she's blowing him off and just go talk to, what's her name?
Go talk to your wife. Go talk to Jessica.
Go talk to Jessica. Just keep going. Just go talk to Jessica. And he's like very adamant. No, no, I want to talk to you now.
Because I think he's had an epiphany about their relationship. And she's like, nope, nope, not getting in between that. Nope, not doing a thing. So she walks off and we cut to her later sitting there drinking a bottle of vodka. And I forgot to mention this earlier, but this goes back to when she and Flynn are talking. And Flynn asks her, you know, is this why you have a half-drank bottle of vodka under your bed?
Right.
Is this why, you know, you're awkward with Rufus and Wyatt? Is this why, you know, them giggling makes things uncomfortable? Because basically he's been following her. He's been spying on her and she accuses him of it. And he's like, well, yeah, but here's why. Because essentially I'm in love with you, which is not entirely healthy, but no. It's a small bunker.
Mm-hmm.
So things happen differently, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, so she ends up getting up and going to Flynn's room where she knocks on the door with the bottle of vodka in hand. He opens the door and looks down and she just holds it up looking at him like, you know, very silently, you know, nothing is said between them. May I come in? And he instantly understands and she goes into his room and he shuts the door and it's bangity bang, bangity bang, 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 bang.
A bang, bang, bangity bang.
I said a bang, bang, bangity bang.
Bang, bang.
Not really. I mean, this is all implied, but...
We're implying bang, bang, bangity bang.
It's going to happen at some point if it didn't happen after this. So then we cut to Connor as part of one of the final scenes of the episode where Connor pulls out his record of Robert Johnson and he's listening to the track that he essentially recorded and he hears his the track.
And he geeks out, that was me!
That was me. And then he picks up the record cover and he looks at it. And he had used the name Lando Calrissian in the past. And it said engineered by Lando Calrissian on the record. And he has a moment where he's like, oh my God, that's me. Which is really funny. So all in all, this was a really, really good episode. Love the hell out of this. Mainly because I ship. But also, it's getting really, really good. I can't wait for episode 7.
So, what's your theory?
So, my theory is this, and they've kind of hinted at this, and I think they outright said it in the beginning of the series, but I would have to go back and watch the episode where Finn and Lucy kind of really spend some time together for the first time. And it's basically Finn gets the journal and he says to Lucy, you gave it to me. Meaning that they had, and he's, you know, implied someday they're going to be a team together. Someday they're going to have all these adventures together. So the question I ask is, okay, one, in what capacity were they a team? Was it a professional team? Was it a personal? Did they end up getting together? Did they end up getting married? You know, what is this whole deal with him? But also, is this Garcia Flynn, the Garcia Flynn that's already been on the adventures with Lucy, and he's come back to the past? Or did Garcia Flynn go to the future, get the journal from her, you know, pretty much figuring out his future with her, and then come back?
trying to rewrite that future?
And trying to rewrite that future. Change that future.
That's possible.
Because, you know, one implication of she gave it to him is either they were partners and they're not anymore, or something happens to her. Either she gets sick or she gets injured and she gives him the journal as a way to go back and fix it all. You know, who knows what the full deal is. And I hope to God, if we don't get it at the end of this season, that we get a season 3 so we can find out what that whole story actually is between those two. But it would be funny if this is the Flynn from the future who has come back to the past mm-hmm. to sort of fix everything.
Right.
And there's a third time machine somewhere in that mix that hasn't been revealed yet.
Mm-hmm. It's possible.
It's entirely possible. Like, they could totally do that, and he already knows everything that's going to happen, so he's ready for it. Mm-hmm. Or he could have gone for it in the future, gotten the book, and come back. That's a possibility, too, because, again, they don't talk about the future going into the future that much.
No, they don't.
Because if Rittenhouse was smart, they wouldn't go back in the past. They would go forward into the future and set it all up and lay that foundation work in the future, but I'm neither hither nor thither. But this is a great episode.
Now you're missing, we forgot to talk about one thing.
Rufus and Gia?
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to avoid talking about that because I don't want to talk about that, but...
It's a key point because it's going to probably play into the finale of the show.
It is definitely going to play into the finale of the show. So, Gia's visions are becoming more and more prevalent, and Rufus is, like, on the fence in terms of believing them or not believing them. And so, she has one at the beginning of the episode, and she realizes, oh crap, it's not good, and we don't see it, so we don't know what it is. Well, at the end of the episode, Gia goes to Rufus and tells Rufus, you know, I had another vision, or she's basically disturbed, and he's like, did you have another vision? She's like, yeah, and she's like, but you don't want to know, and he's like, well, now you have to tell me. And she describes a scene where they're in the Old West, they're in a bar, Rufus is trapped in the bar, there's yellow teeth, and Rufus dies. And I'm like, wait a minute! You cannot kill Rufus! He's one of the best characters on the show! You cannot kill him! I will be heartbroken if that happens.
So this goes back to our discussion from last week. Is fate always already predetermined, or can you change thing? Because she's seen it. She's seen his death. Can he somehow avoid it now?
Well, the obvious answer is he doesn't go on that mission. Whatever it is to the Old West or whatever it is to that time period, he just doesn't go. And that would presumably save him unless something gets him in the present.
Right, because that's what could happen, because if he's supposed to die at a certain point, then he dies no matter what. It's interesting.
It's a very interesting concept, but if they kill Rufus, I'll cry. I'm not going to be okay if that happens. You cannot kill him. He's too good. Like, him just WTFing all his way through all of history makes a show. So, but yeah, I think that does it for episode 6. What do you think?
It does. Make sure you follow us on the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Rack Radio Show. We are available on iTunes. Just search the Rack Radio Show. Also on TuneIn Radio Podcast, Stitcher Podcast, Google Play Podcast on the Rack Radio Show. If you like what we do, subscribe to those links, leave a review, give us 5 stars because you deserve it, and all that fun stuff. And check out the live show every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, The Rack.
You can follow me on Twitter, at Lins Ward, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as Twitter's. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rack Extra Reviews, timeless edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week with episode 7. Till then, bye!